good to be in church tonight. We're going to start out with a couple of special prayer requests tonight before we start service. And Brother Smith called, and of course he's up at the hospital with Brother Mike. Those of you that didn't know that Brother Mike Smith is in the hospital, they admitted him Monday. I didn't know it until today, but anyway, they admitted him Monday, and they still don't know why he's having all this pain. They ruled out his heart. They ruled out muscle and bone issues to a point. They may not be totally ruled out, but and nerves issues. I think they don't think it's that, but they. Brother Smith was saying, like, he said GI, I guess you got GI low and upper, but anyway, he's thinking along that line, but they supposed to be doing an MRI, he said tonight, but it may be tomorrow. Brother Mark said maybe tomorrow before they do the MRI, but I think that's the next test that they're supposed to do on him. But anyway, he's suffering a lot of pain. He told me that if he just raised up to like a 45-degree angle, it's unbearable. So anyway, he's in a lot of pain. We need to have a special prayer for him tonight. And then Sister Crow called Brother Smith earlier this evening, and she's better with the, you know, that procedure they did. She's not having to use the walker to walk, but she's having a problem with her hip. And I think she went to the doctor. I'm not sure if it was today. I think it was. And they did see something when they ran some tests on her that they didn't like, but they kind of didn't. She was thinking they may be talking about surgery, but anyway, they said, you know, just hold on a minute. We're not going that far with it, but they were trying to keep her calm about that. But they did see that, and I think she got another appointment with her doctor, and so they have to find some answers on that. So anyway, she called for special prayer tonight, Sister Crow, and then we know we're going to have special prayer for Brother Mike tonight. So let's just do that right off the bat and remember them and our service tonight. You know, I know there are other needs, people that we have standing prayer requests, and then we know of other people that, you know, need. I think of Sister Watson, you know. I don't remember if she's done her last test or not, but anyway, she did, so that's good. So anyway, let's pray for these two special requests here tonight. If we all stand and take these to the Lord and ask that God will intervene and help in these situations. Lord, we come before you this night. Lord, we know that you have all answers, oh God. We know you have nothing too hard for you, Lord. We look to you. Lord, we know that you can help our need. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Brother Mike, Lord, help him this night. Sister Crow, Lord, need your help. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Help us to look to you, Lord, for our help. Look up to the hill, Lord. Come as our help, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, your holy name. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you, God. Oh, blessed be your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
lifted me up, and he set me free. What a wonderful friend is he. How can I help but praise him for what for what he's done. took away the bad. Well, he lifts me up when I'm down, cheers me when I'm sad. Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. Place them on a rock to say, oh Lord, oh Lord, you've been so good to me.
He's been so good to me, Lord,
he's been so good to me.
I like to shout and tell the world,
he's been so good to me.
Well, he brought me out of the miry clay,
set my feet on the rock to say,
oh Lord, oh Lord, you've been so good to me.
Good. Oh God, I appreciate him. Talking about a friend. You know, he is a friend. That stick is closer than a brother. So anyway, I don't have sad news for you. I just know that he's our friend. He's a true friend. I remember Brother Leninger said something about if you have a true friend in your lifetime. Was it something like a true friend or loyal friend? But anyway, in your lifetime, he said, you're very fortunate. Have won. Just won. Just won. So we do know that Jesus is our best friend. And I appreciate him tonight. And we can shout and tell the world about it. Tell the world about it. That he's been a friend to us. A true friend. I'll tell you what, God is... I'm just thinking back from leaving Sunday. I appreciated some of the good words we heard and the inspiration. You know, I like when I can feel inspiration from talking about the Lord and his goodness. Just reading, you know, when you read the Bible, you could get some inspiration. Reading about, of course, you know, I was thinking about Solomon when they dedicated the temple that he built. Of course, he prayed to God and asked God to help his people, the children of Israel, when they was overcome by the enemy or when diseases. He covered, seemed like, everything that could happen to a people, a man. And God told him, that he would hear it. You know, what you hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And but he did also add this to it. You know, he told him, David, even before he went off the scene, that, it wouldn't be a man, not a man would fail on that throne of Israel if they kept his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. You know, he did have some stipulations on that, on what he would do. He would do his part. He would his promises would come to pass. But, there were some strings attached to it. And I think God still today, he still has strings attached to his blessings on our life. And he still want us to obey. He still want us to keep his commandments and his statutes, that he has for us. And when you think about it, just even having the opportunity, I think, to hear the things that we hear, the truth that we hear, just to know that God has things in the Bible, or about God that people don't see it. If we have eyes to see, then we are blessed people. Be able to see that God, because God did hide things. He said these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, but they're revealed unto babes, people that humble themselves. That's what God honors. He loved that. He loved a humble spirit. He will not despise. And that's what we have to do. We understand that as a people. I appreciate this people that understand some of the things that God look at, that he require, and that he expect of us to be able to have his blessings on our life, and to be able to eat the good of the land. We understand that. And some, I talk to people, to come by and visit and discuss things, and our people that think, that they have all they need from God right now. They don't need any more, and they like got it sold up, like it's all wrapped up. But we know better than that. We know that God is requiring a closer walk with him. We need to want that also, to have a closer walk with the Lord. We need to always be have a desire in our hearts to get closer to the Lord. I was thinking about that tonight, hearing about, all these things happening to our brother Mike and Crow and all. I know, like I said, things have been happening to us all along, but I mean, sometimes it gets a little bit closer to you and get your attention, and God has a way of doing that. So we have to consider God and consider him, and we want to please the Lord. We want our lives to please him. That's what I want to do. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord, and in order to do that, then I have to look beyond myself. I can't, get the answers for myself, but God can give us answers. We can look beyond just the immediate, and look beyond my own thinking, because God has to help us and reveal things to us and let us see. Be open enough to God for him to let us see, and for him to show us, show us what we need. I'm not praying that he show me everything tonight, but as I walk, he give us a light as we need it, and then I need to walk in it as he showed me that light. I know if I see all my problem at once, I might give up and get discouraged, but I don't want to do that either. I want to keep walking with God. I walk beside him. I make it a daily walk with God. This is a daily thing. We're not doing this. It does help to consider. I've been around people that want to get it done now. And have not a lot of patience with God. But if you can consider the long haul, this is going to be for a while. This is going to last a while. So let's prepare ourselves to be serving God a while. Don't expect it to be overnight. It's going to be a while. So let's, in our minds, start, getting what we need like he did for the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness. He gave them that bread daily, you know. It was just daily bread. They could only one time a week that they could collect for 2 days, but other than that, it was daily. You know, just that's what you need. You know, I can look ahead and see things, but really all I need to consider is every day. It's just a daily walk, daily devotion to the Lord. And I think if I continue that, I believe I can make some progress with God if I just look for, you know, on a daily basis, just to begin to just talk to the Lord. I like to be around here next week or the next one, but actually, if I just begin to just, you know, do those daily things, you know, just begin to talk to the Lord, and it's good. I just appreciate God tonight, appreciate being in a place where we can talk about these good things and be able to, you know, it's a healthy place, a place that we can share our needs, maybe some desires, and to be able to share with one another. You know, we can share and talk about the good things of the Lord. So I don't want to take up all the time tonight, but I do know that we you know, we should be seeking God, and sometimes things happen to allow us to seek Him more and to try to get answers, you know, from God. You know, I don't know all the answers, but I know one that does know all the answers, and we can seek Him, seek His face, and begin to cry out to Him. But Smith mentioned the other day, we was talking about we had a good worship here Sunday, and he mentioned that, you know, about what he said, travailing. I'm trying to think of the word he was using, travailing before God, and that's what sometimes is necessary, you know, to be able to go before God, and who else, you know? Sometimes, like, you know, in this world, you don't always find answers, but when you begin to fall on your face before the Lord and seek Him. And if not anything else, He can give you consolation. That's what I like about it. You know, He can give you peace. Sister in our church used to say that I'm trying to think of this word about the only real peace that I have is in, that I get or I have is in Jesus. You know, that's where we get our peace from. You know, we can get peace about a lot of things that goes on in our life. The only real peace, you know, that I can have, you know, it's going to be through God. It's going to be through Him, and that's what we need. You know, like I say, sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes it just give me, Lord, give me peace about it. You know, if you can just be at peace about things that's going on in your life, then you can survive. You can make it. You know, you know that, you know, you've done all you can do. Then, but still, God wants to trust in Him and stand anyway. When He's all you can, if you've done all you can do to stand, what He said, do stand, just keep standing. So anyway, we want to trust God and believe Him for all our needs. And I don't know. Think about taking an offering. We do offering on Wednesday night, don't we? We might ought to go ahead and do our missionary offering tonight, and then somebody else might have some good things on their hearts. I don't know. We got several people. It's Brother Philip and Jen, ma'am, Sunday night, okay. Remember Brother Philip and Chelsea. Your sister Linda. Who's that? Okay, remember that. Sister Ann. Okay. All right. Just remember that. My wife saw something on that. Was that Facebook about Sister Yvonne's brother? Sister Yvonne York's brother? The one that she was taking care of? Okay. It's two different brothers. Okay. 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 Thank you. Clear that up. But anyway, I knew that was a loss there, and I figured somebody would know. So thank y'all. But remember them, though. You know, they. I'm sure we miss them, and I'm sure they probably miss us. So pray for them. Okay. Anybody else? Any other? Yes. Larry. Just remember Brother Larry. Pray for him. Stomach problems. Sister Abraham. Your family. All right. Let's remember Sister Abraham's family. Anybody else? How about Sister Terry's dad? Sister doing better. Yeah, good to hear that. All right, that's good. Okay, Sister Lynette. Okay, Sister Lynette. I heard you, but I didn't quite pick it up. But anyway, okay. Remember Sister Joyce. All right. So, Lisa. Okay. All right. Not any other requests. That's brother, that y'all do offering. And let's all stand and ask that God would help these needs and touch each one of them. Lord, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for your people, Lord. Lord, help us in our hearts. Reach out. Pray, Lord, that you help us. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, God. Precious Savior, thank you, God. Oh, Lord, in this request. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh.
Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the heart. It reaches.
God.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord reached down His loving hand and touched me, touched my mind, and put it in my heart to be a part of His work. You know, that the writer said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And you know, that's not a decision that I made once. It seems as though that's a decision I make over and over and over and over again. And, you know, admittedly, there's times that making that commitment, that decision, is easy. No problems. Glad to make that decision. And then there's other times that making that decision is tough. It's, I like that old song, "It takes a made-up mind to go with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. It takes a made-up mind to go all the way." And this isn't a race, you know, it's not to the swift or the fastest, it's to him that endureth to the end. And, you know, enduring, that kind of has a negative connotation. If we're not careful, we'll think of that as you know, drudgery, like it's miserable. But, you know, I think about a man like Brother Ray Lineger, who had such a deep conviction and determination in his life that enduring for him was working, fulfilling the calling, serving the Lord, making that commitment over and over and over and over and over again. You know, what a wonderful witness he was to us, and the testimony that he left us, the legacy that he left us of serving God as a young man and enduring the pressures of leadership changes and separation from family and division, you know, within among ministers, and then, you know, even the pressure that he bore amongst his own brethren. But still, he paid the price, didn't he? He made up his mind. He said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And through the good times and the bad times, what a wonderful witness, what a wonderful testimony that God has provided us. And I really feel privileged. I've met rich men. I've met renowned men. I've heard, you know, famous leaders speak. Seen them in the flesh. But I'll always treasure and appreciate the men of God that I've met in my life, through the body of Christ, and the effect, the life-changing effect that their words and their life has had upon me. I grew up as a poor boy in a big family. In a little town, and for whatever reason, the Lord saw fit to call me and reach down His hand and pluck me out of, a life of chaos or disorder, and brought me among the body of Christ. And then He made provision for me. He allowed me to go to a camp meeting for the first time in my life. And some of you may not be aware, but I came in the body of Christ through a church that wasn't even connected to the body of Christ. It was a dotted line, if you will. But you know, I still got a vision. Even through that, even in the midst of that chaos and frustration, the Lord still touched my eyes. And believe me when I tell you, if your heart's hungry today, He'll touch yours the same. And, you know, I wish I had the answers. I wish I could have... I hurt for my friends today, people I've known from days gone by that once walked with me. Once we walked together in agreement. And now they don't. It makes me sad for them. It makes me sad that they don't participate and share in the joy that the life of Christ brings me. You know, as you said, Brother Talia, the spirit that we felt here Sunday night and the truth of the Word of God and the peace that it brings upon our life. You know, Paul, just to understand who the devil is just, it's an amazing revelation. The Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm not as one that beateth the air. You know, he's not shadow boxing. He's not just swinging, you know, wildly trying to fend off, you know, some... evil carnation that's out here just trying to, you know, that you never know where it's coming from. He said, I'm not as one that beats the air. He knew, you know, where his trouble lies. He said, the carnal mind is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. And who can know it? The writer said, and Jeremiah, he said, I, the Lord, know the heart, and I try the reins to see whether they be of God or not. And the Apostle Paul, he said that the carnal mind is the very enemy of God. So, you know, just to get that measure of truth, my Lord, what a wonderful thing. It happened to me. It just, you know, I don't remember exactly where I was, but I remember the scripture that brought it alive to me. The Bible says that he that hath no rule over his own spirit, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. And so that just means that evil could come creep in on any side. If you don't have your nature under subjection, if I don't have my nature under subjection, then evil could catch me from any side, any direction. I could get surprised by evil or some unfortunate circumstance in my life. And that scripture, boy, it just made it come. It let me know that I've got a spirit. Let me know that I've got something to work on. And when I found out I had a spirit, then I found out God had a spirit. You know, and guess what? His spirit's a whole lot better than mine. But you know, he didn't just leave me like helpless. He didn't leave me, you know, without. He made provision for me. He said, hey, you can get baptized in my spirit. Hey, let me tell you something. You can kill your spirit. You can do away with your ways and your nature, and you can take on mine if you want to. And my Lord, that was good news. That was news to me. That was good news. I was wrestling with the flesh, and you know, Paul said, I think he said, when I would do good, evil is always present. Find a law that works in me. And I found it. I found that law. And you know, the Bible says that it's hard for a man to serve two masters. In Luke 16. Luke 16 and 10, I'll start there. It said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And you know, we're taught to abhor, to abstain and hate and distance ourselves away from pride. And because of that, I think sometimes because of that, for me personally, I underestimate, I'm going to say this carefully, but I underestimate my value to God. I discount how much I mean to the Lord, and so I consider myself to be least. Just, well, you know, I'm just, you know, just a poor boy from a little town. You know, I just don't think of myself as being, as meaning much to God. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not. You know, if you, in the big scheme of things, I'm nothing. You know, I'm just a vapor in the big picture. But Brother McGowan, he's not here. He is, but I've never heard his voice audibly. I've had a few dreams, not where I saw God's face, but I've had dreams where he's given me, you know, instruction, given me comfort. But he's not here. And in fact, Jesus valued his disciples so great that he told them, he said, go into all the world. He could have put his arms around them or had a very sober moment there and probably told them, he said, look, I'm not going to be here, guys. I'm going away. He told them that. He said, I'm going away, but I will not leave you comfortless. He said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Glad tidings, if you will. And so, you know, as little value as I place upon myself, my Lord, the responsibility and the great charge that God has placed upon my life is fantastic. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, sure, I may not be much of anything, but I'm going to tell you something. God in me is fantastic. Hallelujah. And the message and the calling that he's placed upon my life is wonderful. Lord, help me to be faithful to that. Help me to be faithful to this calling, this gift that he's placed, this truth, the Spirit of God that he's given me. Hallelujah. This vision that he's given me. Help me to be faithful in that. Praise God. And to be faithful in that which is much, I should also be faithful in that which is least. It's not enough. It's not enough for me to sit at home and read my Bible and pray and not associate myself with God's people. It's not enough for me to just stay at home and do my own thing. You know, that old saying, me and Jesus got our own thing going. That's not enough for me to just kind of decide, well, you know, no one sees it like I do, so therefore they must be wrong, and Lord, I'll just trust you and work with you. That's not enough. No, that's not enough. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even so much as you see the day approaching. And I think Brother Smith went through this scripture recently. He said, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. It's searching the inward parts of the belly. There's something that I get, that I glean. If I'm the least, if I feel the least, which I do, there's still something that you're going to benefit from by me being here, thank God. There's still a benefit for us to come and worship together. And you know what it takes? It takes a made-up mind. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? I'm agreeing tonight. I'm agreeing to walk together, thank God, with the children of God in this congregation here in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's my agreement. We may not be much. We may feel like least, thank God, but I want to be faithful in the least. Hallelujah. If we are the least, I want to be faithful in it. It's not enough to sit here in this city and not gather with God's people. Some people do. It's not enough. It's not enough. We're to be faithful in that which is least. Even if some consider this to be least, they should be here to be faithful. That's the truth. That's our responsibility. So he said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, of course, he said, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We're looking for the true riches. Now, that's hard to find. The true riches. Well, we got some tonight, Sister Bryant. Those are good songs. Those are the kind of songs that you can take. Money can't buy the peace and happiness that you get when you're singing a song like that. Money can't buy that. Money can't buy the joy that you get whenever you're walking on your job or in the midst of turmoil or working around a house or you know, maybe dealing with somebody who's frustrated and you feel that overwhelming peace and happiness and confidence that, Lord, I'll trust you no matter what. Money can't buy that. Money can't buy those truths that you've received to understand where your troubles lie, to understand that there's power in Christ to overcome. Money can't buy that. Money can't buy the determination that you have when you rise up out of your bed in the morning and you decide, Lord, come what may, I'm going to trust you through the good and the bad. Thank God I'm going to put my life in your hands. I'm yours, Lord. Use me as you will. Money can't buy that. Praise God. What we're faithful in, all these things that we do, the jobs that we work on, the neighborhoods that we're a part of, the families that we interact with, all those things that we do that we're faithful in, those things are important. We're to be faithful in those things. But we're doing those things, we're being faithful on those things so that we can receive the true riches. The true riches of peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. He said, no servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other. Let's see, I skipped a verse here. In the 12th verse said, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, you know, I've said this before, and it's been said by others, let the church crawl, let the church walk, let the church run. It takes money to run, you know, and the cadence went back, let the church crawl. It's, you know, it's funny, every time I say that, I get a chuckle out of it. We need, the church needs money, there's no doubt about that, you know, and it's not to have some great orifice. Just think about, I think about this all the time, and I'm going to tell you, I want to frame this up right. Brother McGowan, I think about the men that worked with you around this church, Brother Talley and Brother Weiniger, Brother Daniels, that built this building. I think about that. I am reaping the labor. I'm benefiting from the labors of others. I understand that. I personally believe that God has a blessing for me. I don't believe that blessing is over either. Let me say that again. I don't believe that blessing is over. God will not owe us anything. I wasn't a part of this. I didn't pour any concrete here. I didn't hang any drywall. I understand that. I have in other churches. I have, you know, worked in on other projects and things like that. I understand that it takes money. I understand that it takes all, and that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying that you shouldn't. What I was going to say is, we're not here just building a building. But thank God somebody did build the building. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad somebody did sweat and labor and toil and built the building? I am. Wow. Think about it now. I'm glad somebody came in here and laid the concrete. I'm glad somebody came in here and put the rock up on the wall. I'm glad somebody painted and hung the suspended ceiling and run the wire and the copper and the water lines and all the things that happened that went into making this building what it is today. Praise God. I'm glad they did those things. I want to continue it on. I want to continue it on. You know why? Because there's somebody coming after me. There's a young man or a young woman or a young family or an older person that maybe's been looking a long time for God's truth that's coming after me, thank God. And one day, Brother Durham, they're going to walk into this building or a building like it. You know why? Because I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on working until He comes. I'm going to keep on working. Praise God. I'm going to keep on. Even if I think of myself as least, I want to be faithful in that which is least, because I want to be just in all of it. I want to be just in the least and just in the greatest. Praise God. I'm going to keep on working. Praise God. He said, no servant can serve two masters. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. I've got here in my Bible written down, covet. You can't covet yourself. You can't covet your own desire and covet God's desire at the same time. Paul said to covet earnestly the best gifts. He said, behold, I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he went on into the chapter of charity. You can't covet your way. Brother Harry Lane, a dear friend of mine, wonderful man of God, he told me many times, he said, Brother Nathan, if you're having your own way, you're having the wrong way. Now, that's not to say that we don't have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, because we do. You know, the Bible says that we're the temple of the Lord. Now, that's humiliating in and of itself. I don't feel that. I don't feel even worthy to be considered that way. But I still have a responsibility to take care of myself, to allow my mind to, you know, there's times when you just got to allow your mind to relax and not be so burdened and stressed out and you know, the things that go with life. I understand that we have to take care of ourselves, but my focus, my desire, let my life be yours. I think there's a song, something like that. Maybe Sister Lynette sang it recently. Something about let my life. Escapes me right now. But that's my desire. Let my life be His. I want to be a vessel of honor in the house of the King, not a vessel of dishonor. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men, in the 15th verse of Luke 16, he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What is highly esteemed among men? Most often, the things that are highly esteemed among men, there are celebrities. They're the people that promote themselves. They're the people that seek their own wealth. They're the people that are interested in their own image, their own aspirations, their own desires and intentions. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. But you know what? We can't hardly help it. You know, we've heard this before. Every one of us got an M written in the middle of our hand. On both hands. It's mine, 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 mine. You know, a little child's born lying from its mother's womb. How's that so? Every one of my children, you feed them, clothe them, clean them up, put them to bed, lay them down, walk out of the room, they start crying. You know they weren't hungry. You just fed them. You know they weren't cold because the house was 75 or 78 or 85 degrees. Hey, Gladys had a good excuse. She was a Texas gal. She wasn't used to cold weather in Arkansas. So we kept the house warm for a little while. Bless her heart, I'll tell this on Gladys. We got married, and 2 weeks later, we're living in Springdale, and it snowed 14 inches. And our door opened up on the west. So we got up that next morning. You couldn't even open the front door. I mean, literally, couldn't open the door because there was so much snow blown up against it. It was probably 2 foot on the door because of, you know, the way it banks. She looks at me, what are we going to do? Nothing. You mean we can't go nowhere? I don't want to go anywhere. So I don't guess you'd ever seen that much snow, had you? Okay, now I'm going to get in trouble when I get home. That's all right. We'll be cranking the air conditioning down. He said, he that God knoweth the hearts, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Now this is scripture. This scripture is what stood out to me tonight. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man, woman, child, every one of us, press into it. Whether we feel like it, whether we don't. That he that is faithful and that which is least. It's a pressing way, isn't it? You know, it is. It's just a struggle. Sometimes it's an absolute struggle. Sometimes it's just downright brutal. It's just the way it is. Sometimes it's glorious, though. Wow. I can take you back to a youth meeting we had, and we're getting ready to have one. And I wasn't a part of this church at the time. But the young men got Brother Linger down here praying. And you know, I really honored that. I tell you, I really respected that about him. I mean, come on. A bunch of teenage boys praying for Brother Ray Linger. What's that going to do? You know, that's like, you know, but you know what he did? He threw his hands in the air. He said, come on, boys, pray for me. Before it was all said and done, he was down in the floor, drunk in the spirit. I don't know if you remember that, Brother Weinger, but he was in the spirit, Brother Daniels. And them young men, well, I was a witness. I never forgot it. It meant something to me. It meant something to me. There's been times it's just been absolutely glorious for me in the house of God. And, you know, songs like tonight take me back, and I love it. I love this way, Brother McGowan. I wish I'd have been here working with y'all. I don't know what I'd have been doing. I'd probably been in your way. You give me a job, that's right. That's all right. And, you know, I've told you, my mama always gave me a job. Keep me out of jail. There's been times that have been glorious. Wonderful times. Sure, there's been times it's been enduring to the end. My Lord. You know, I'll take the good with the bad. The bad with the good. You know, I would make some marriage comment, but I'm already in trouble. I made up my mind. I wish I could say I've counted the cost. I don't know what it's going to cost me, Brother Daniels. That's the problem. I don't know how much it's going to cost me, Brother Weiniger, but I can see in your life that it's cost you your life. I can see that, Brother Talley. In your life, it's cost you your life. You made a determination a long time ago that I'm going to give my life for this. Lord, come what may, I'm yours. Come what may, I'm yours. I'm going to give you my life. Whatever, wherever, whoever, whenever, Lord, I'm yours. That's the cost. That's the cost. Praise God. Have you made up your mind tonight? Are you going to be faithful in that which is least? When you don't feel like it? Maybe when you feel like you're enduring to the end? When it's not a glorious time, when you don't feel that joyful laughter springing up that makes you want to dance? Are you going to be faithful in that which is least? I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to be faithful. Be faithful when your family don't go. Be faithful when you don't feel like going. Be faithful when the job's giving you a hard time. Be faithful when the bills are coming up and the money comes up short. Be faithful when the government is disappointing you. Be faithful, thank God, when you're disappointing yourself. My Lord, be faithful in that which is least. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Let the peace of God rule your life and know that come what may, as that song said, that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. He'll be your friend. He'll be your leader, your guide. Hallelujah. And He'll bless you with the true riches that we're looking for. That wonderful peace of mind that passes all understanding. Praise God. I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
tell this one little story here before we go home. We was traveling to a Thanksgiving meeting at Godfrey behind Brother Linegar. And I think Sister Tony, my wife, where's my wife? Well, Sister Tony with us when we went to that Thanksgiving meeting with Brother Linegar. We pulled over before we got to St. Louis, and he explained to us that he was going to his sister's house. I don't know if y'all know what church they're in, but anyway, at that time, that was the fellowship was not there. But anyway, he told us he's going to his sister's house. His dad and his brothers and sisters, they were having Thanksgiving dinner. He was just going by to visit with them. He said, if y'all want to go, he made us welcome. He said, they're church people. They'll treat you good. That's where I'm going. Y'all can go if you want to, or y'all go on to Godfrey. We followed Brother Linegar to his sister's house. And they was, you know, my brother, the convention center, brother. I'll put it that way. Put him out. But anyway, that was quite an experience for us. You know, we had no idea where we was going. We did get to Godfrey, but I'm saying that's all we knew we was going. We didn't know it was going to take in on that, get in on that on the way. But anyway, that's when you're following Brother Linegar, you know, tell him where you end up at. So anyway, that was our experience, and it was a good experience. We enjoyed it. Anyway, so it's good to be here tonight. Good to hear these good words. Appreciate you, Brother. Where are you, Brother Painter? Appreciate your good words. So let's continue to pray for Brother Mike Smith, oh, yeah. Sister Crow. Pray for them. And I'm sure, like I said, look forward to the Sunday coming up, Bible study, and let's, you know, be praying. Have a, ma'am? That's right. Men's meeting Saturday morning at 8:30. Brother Smith said it'll be here unless he posts something otherwise. It will be here. Okay. And what about your Friday night?